All right, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys here. And we are in a tough chapter this morning. Ecclesiastes. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 6. And I've noticed, I don't know if you guys notice or have this experience, but I think as I get older, I learn to appreciate more things, maybe. I mean, yeah, you get a little more cynical to some things, but just learn to appreciate things a little more. I remember as a kid, I had asthma years ago, and for 30 years, it was gone. I didn't have any other trouble with it, and then after getting COVID, it came back, and I had asthma again. And asthma is this breathing disease, and so, do what? What? Yeah, well, if you don't, that's what it is. Anyway, it's a breathing disease, and with it, you know, you appreciate the ability to breathe. And so, we'll do an experiment. I'm going to do an experiment this morning, real quick. It's simple. So you just take a breath. Ready? Okay. All right. So that breath, you took a breath, you breathe out, that breath is gone now. But you appreciate it, even though it was vain. It was something that didn't last. By now, you've already taken another breath. So it's something that doesn't last, but you appreciate it. And I notice maybe not Christianity as a whole, but maybe more independent Baptist Christianity is very good at extremes, where if it's vain, we just want to cut it out of our lives. The reality is 99% of what we do is vain. It doesn't last. It's not going to last. And so what you really have to do is learn to either appreciate something that's going on within the vanity. It is the attitude, you know, with which you do things. But being vain and living in vanity is about 99% of our lives. Most everything we do doesn't last. Almost everything we do doesn't last. And so that all said, this is a really dark chapter here in Ecclesiastes, but it reveals something about enjoying life. The flip side of what Solomon is saying is true about enjoying life. I'm going to read some of this, but we're going to start this morning off with this chapter here. And the observations Solomon makes are sobering observations. But the flip side of the coin can be a little bit inspiring. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a very negative motivation in order to get us moving in the right direction. For instance, and Ecclesiastes is that, really. But, you know, you go to the doctor, and you already know what the doctor's going to say. Eat different, lose weight. And you wonder, why did I spend $100 for you to tell me something I knew before I came here? And you say that, and I say that, you go to the doctor, and then you end up in the hospital with a triple bypass, and all of a sudden your diet changes. I remember my dad, he had a quadruple bypass, and I mean, the cardiologist is one of the best dietitians ever. I mean, once he had that, I mean, it was the diet changed, everything changed there. But so you deal with the very negative thing that goes on in life, and you're, that's what it takes sometimes. And Ecclesiastes really is that. So that said, tell you what, let's pray. And I'm going to go through these verses and deal with just enjoying life. And how do you do it? I mean, how do you just start to appreciate some stuff that you need to appreciate? And I think it's very useful for us, particularly the way we view things about the Bible and the way we view things about life. So let's pray, and then we'll talk about enjoying life. Father, pray you'd help us this morning. Help us get what we need out of your words, and maybe a little, I don't think I've ever heard anything like this said as far as a lesson or a sermon, but I pray it is helpful. There's a lot of truth in what we're going to talk about today, and the necessary and the need for having this perspective and attitude about life and what goes on in life. And so I pray you'd help us this morning, help the teachers that are in the back. I pray you'd fill all of us with your Holy Spirit through your words, and help us make the applications that need to be made. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes 6. Solomon says right off the bat here, he says, there's an evil, verse 1, which I have seen under the sun. And it's common among men, so this happens pretty often. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it's an evil disease. So first thing, and I'm just going to explain this, and then we'll go through some of the principles at work here. God not only is the gift giver, but the ability to actually enjoy the good gifts is something God gives. So how many people have you known that they have money in the bank, they are doing good for themselves and for their family, and they're laid up in a hospital bed, and there's no way to enjoy any of these things that they have? Solomon said that's a pretty common experience. And he said, I noticed, you know, it's a common thing, but the ability to enjoy life and the ability to enjoy things is itself a gift of God. We'll talk about that. He goes on to say, verse 3, if a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good. So he has a long life. He has a lot of a big family. Long life, big family. All those things that we want out of life. And his soul be not filled with good. And also that he have no burial. I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So someone, large family. What's what we have a big family. This is what life is all about. Well, here's someone who has a big family, has a lot of children, and everybody's miserable in the family. And he says, you know, it's better. It would be better, unfortunately, if someone had never seen life. That's the untimely birth is a stillbirth, is what he's talking about there. And then he says, if he lives long, he lives a long life. Someone who lives, that's what you're trying to improve your health so you can live longer. Well, if you live longer and you're still miserable, well then the long life didn't make you happy. So the ability to enjoy these things in life, that's a gift from God. And so these aren't necessarily the answer. Big family, long life, having lots of stuff. These things don't make life enjoyable. The ability to enjoy life is something that God has to give. Then he says this, along these lines of this untimely birth, which is a stillbirth. He says, for he cometh in with vanity. This is the stillborn child. He cometh in with vanity, departs in darkness. His name shall be covered with darkness, so he's never known who he is. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Why? Because he didn't experience all the trouble. That's what something Job said. He said, I wish I would have been born still, and I wouldn't have seen all these things I've seen. They've hurt me in such a way that I'd rather just not have seen them ever. So Solomon says, verse 6, yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. The one place is the grave. He's not talking about heaven, hell, or anything. It's just everybody ends up in the same, you know, under the ground. All the labor of man is for his mouth, yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? What's the advantage? What is the advantage in all that? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. That is, you know, it's better to hold it in your hand than dream about it. That's a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, that kind of thing. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity, vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. So he's already named everything. I mean, everything's got an identification to it. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? So not only do you live in vanity, but man has this incredible capability of increasing it and making it worse on himself. For who knoweth what is good for man in his life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? All right, I warned you, it's a bad chapter, but we're gonna try to flip on the other side of the coin here. At the beginning, Solomon understands and says, the ability to enjoy life is a gift from God. That's a true thing. And he's clear that enjoyment of things is not found in the things. Enjoyment is an ability that is given by God, and Solomon gives those examples. Somebody who has everything but can't eat. Someone who has lots of children, everybody's miserable. Somebody who lives a long time and they're miserable in their life. So those things don't equate to an enjoyable life. You can enjoy them, but if you don't enjoy them, then they kind of compound the vanity. So the ability to enjoy things. Consider this point. This is something, and you find it in the New Testament too. Paul said, and it's neat how he puts it together, when he's warning about folks who believe in money. And he warns and he says, trust in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. So trust in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. That's 1 Timothy 6:17. So trusting God and enjoying things they kind of go hand in hand. God gives you things. He gives things. He also gives the ability to enjoy things, which we can diminish that ability. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he gives things to enjoy. He makes things good. And man has this incredible capability of taking these good things and turning them into a mess. So, first thought, the ability to enjoy things is a gift from God. Just keep that in your mind there. And you can't enjoy things you don't take care of. It's neat when the Lord says, I think it's in Luke, and he's describing responsibility. And he says, look, if you haven't been faithful in unrighteous mammon, why would God give you any responsibility with things that have more value? So you can't cut vanity out of your life. You can't cut things that don't last out of your life. What you have to do is learn to manage those things and learn to have the right attitude about those things. You can't get rid of them. In fact, if you show responsibility toward them, you know, the Lord says, well, if you've shown some responsibility in some little things, well, I can give you more responsibility. But I'm not going to give you responsibility with my joy if you can't handle the filthy lucre or the money that is a little thing. I'm not going to give you responsibility with eternal things. I'm not going to give you my peace. I'm not going to give you my joy if you can't handle these little things. And that's kind of the idea with Luke. He says, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? So the corrupt thing isn't the point. It's not get rid of it. It's either how do I enjoy it and how do I learn to manage it and what's the right attitude to have towards it? Just like taking a breath, that breath is gone, but you appreciate it, especially if you had to fight for it, you'd appreciate it. So this fact and reality that you live in a temporary thing that's falling apart, okay, we got it. And you can't cut that out of your life. Not everything you do, in fact, 99.9% of what you and I do on a regular basis is not going to last. It's just not going to last. But the point is not to make it last, it's how do I handle this? What's my attitude supposed to be towards it? Is the attitude, I only make eternal decisions. I heard some preacher say that. I only make eternal decisions. No, you don't. I mean, yeah, the reality is so obvious beyond that. I mean, only a preacher would say something like that. It's crazy. But this is the ability to enjoy and manage and be responsible for things. Again, you're not going to be able to enjoy things that you don't take care of. And I think most of you understand that concept. And if you can't manage vain things in this life, again, why would God make you a steward of His joy? Why would He make you a steward of His peace? Why would He do that? These things are eternal. Joy, peace, long-suffering, love, these are eternal things. Why would you become a steward of those things if these temporary things get you all messed up? So this is the idea, the ability to enjoy these temporary things and enjoy life. That's a gift from God. And I think everyone recognizes, consider this, enjoying life. You know, you could do a lot for, probably a lot of us could do a lot for the cause of Christ. If you just put a smile on your face, if you just learn to enjoy life a little bit. In fact, there's this example in the New Testament. You got Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas have been beaten because they've been preaching. And they're in prison. They're in jail. Anybody remember what they're doing in jail? They're singing. They're singing hymns, whatever they're singing. They're singing. You know what they're doing? They're enjoying life. And you know what that causes? That causes God to take notice. Anybody remember what the Lord does in response to that? The prison doors open. And then what happens? Then the jailer says, I want to die. All these prisoners are escaping. They're going to kill me. And Paul says, no, don't hurt yourself. And that leads to the jailer saying, well, how can I be saved? You know how this started? People were enjoying life. They were enjoying their life in Christ. Were they in a good situation? No, they're not in a good situation. But enjoying things, enjoying life, that's evangelism. Maybe we don't need to jump to the Romans road. Maybe we need to smile a little bit. Maybe we need to stop criticizing. We've become excellent criticizers. I'll say something about that in a second. But I think everybody recognizes someone who enjoys things. The world recognizes that. Why are you so happy all the time? Why are you? There's questions that come with that because that's not the world you live in. That's not the news you watch. This isn't. For some folks, relatable because, I mean, it's curiosity. How can you enjoy this stuff when we'll get to that in a second. Second point. So the ability, just keep that in your mind, the ability to enjoy things, even vain things, is a gift from God, okay? The ability to enjoy things also comes from a right perspective of those things. We talked a little bit about it with the Luke scenario, but there is, I remember reading this, there's a book about, it was like Navy SEAL training or something. And he was talking about getting on the beach in the cold water, and, you know, they got exercises to do. And it basically is just trying to weed people out. You know, I don't know if they even expect anyone to actually do everything, but I mean, it's just trying to weed people out and find a mentality. You're trying to find a mentality about this stuff. And the guy said, he said, you know, what I had to do was, and what most of these guys that end up passing the Buds course do is, you have to find, like, all this discomfort is introduced into your life. Cold water, sand and grit, and you're rolling around, you're getting chafed, and I mean, it's just a miserable experience. And he said, what I had to do was, I had to learn to make the sand my friend. And I had to learn to make the cold water my friend and basically embrace the conflict. I have to accept this is what I'm a part of. And if I'm going to be a part of this, I have to embrace these things. Well, there's a similar mentality in Christianity. I'm not running from, I have to have a mindset about life. And I have to have the right perspective about stuff in life. And so there's an acceptance of, you know what? I do live in a vain world, and most of what I do isn't going to last. It's just not going to last. But how I approach it, and how my attitude towards those things, that can be a testimony in the world itself, really. But you and I really have we really have no choice but to cheerfully embrace the struggle that you live in. You're told repeatedly in the New Testament as a Christian, rejoice. That's an instruction. That's something that you have to... And God doesn't say rejoice because everything you're doing has eternal consequences. And you and I better be glad that everything we do doesn't have eternal consequences. We have no choice but to cheerfully embrace this struggle and living amidst vanity. That's just part of it. Not everything you do, like I said, has eternal consequences. Not every decision is an eternal one. We'd be glad for that. But furthermore, for a Christian, death isn't a surprise. It's really not a surprise for anybody, but it's not the end either. It's the end of the body. It's the end of the corrupt part of you. It's the end of the corrupt part of the person. But it's not the end. And a Christian should have the ability, and really you do it with the perspective of the Lord, and it may sound a little bit callous, but it really is. But you have the ability to watch the physical world go up in smoke while you lay in your hammock and sip your lemonade. I mean, it really is this, I am not connected to this. I live in it, but I'm not connected to this in the way the world is connected to itself. I'm not tied to it. I'm not anchored to it. And so this perspective, that perspective alone gives you the ability to enjoy things. Here's what Paul says in the New Testament. He says, look, use this world, but not abuse it. Use the world, that's Corinthians, using the world, but not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. That's just where you live. I'm in the world, I'm just not of it. And I'm not connected to it in the way the world is connected to itself. He would say also in Corinthians, Paul would say this, he says, meats for the belly for meats, and God shall destroy both it and them. So the fact that God's going to destroy all of that, what does that mean? I cut it out of my life? I stop eating? No. I have to eat. And those two things are true. I have to eat. I have to have water. And eventually all that stuff is going to pass away. So how do I handle it? I mean, what should be the perspective I would take to this? Meats for the belly for meats. God shall destroy both it and then. And the zealous, the extreme religious zealous side of, I don't want to do anything that's vain. I don't want to waste my time with stuff that's vain. I don't want to spend my time with stuff that's vain. Look, you already do that. You're going to do that. You can't get out of that. That's the reality in this life. It's about, how am I going to do this? How am I going to manage this? How am I going to think about this? How should I think about it? How should I use it to God's glory if I can do that? But just because it's not going to last doesn't mean I root it out of my life. Meats for the belly for meats. God shall destroy both it and them. Well, it's not spiritual, so I'm not going to partake in it. No, you are going to partake in it. You're going to eat. And it's not spiritual. And it can't, but it can be. What Paul says along those lines, whatsoever you do in eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all unto the glory of God. Eating, drinking, whatever it is. You give thanks, Paul says, you give thanks for it, it's good. Why? Because you brought the right attitude for it. I gave thanks for it. I was grateful for it. Okay, well then that's proper use of this stuff. So perspective gives you the ability to enjoy some things. Now, how do we complicate this? Wrap it up with this. How do we complicate this? And this is where you and I live with this stuff. There are a lot of ways that we can take things that are already vain and make them even worse. Solomon said it. He says, seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? Many things. We have an incredible ability to take something that's not going to last and make it last even less time. Make it fall apart even quicker. We become experts at this. You know, you can't enjoy things when you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. You can't enjoy it. This is one thing Paul says, that, you know, it's foolish to compare yourselves among yourselves. You can't enjoy things when you're constantly comparing, whether it's spiritual stuff and you know, spiritual people are incredibly good at that, making the comparisons. You either say, I'm glad I'm not like that person. I'm glad I'm not like them. Because, Lord, you know, man, if I was like them, glad I'm not like them. Or you say, well, they only have better stuff because they're cheaters. You know, that's just comparison. And you know what? In those two mentalities, you never enjoy what you have. Learn to enjoy what you have. That's a gift from God. He gives you the ability to enjoy this stuff. But if I'm comparing, not going to enjoy it. Second thought about that is, you can't enjoy things because you're too critical of people. Somewhere we got the idea, and there's a part of this that's real, but we're so extreme in some of these things. Somewhere we got the idea, particularly in our brand of Christianity, we got the idea that the ability to criticize and identify errors was the height of spirituality. If I can find the wolf in sheep's clothing, that's godliness. I'll say the most dangerous ones aren't the wolf in sheep's clothing. They're the wolf that think they're sheep. That's dangerous. But you can't enjoy things because you're too critical sometimes. Some Christians are only identified by what they aren't. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't go there. I don't celebrate this. I don't celebrate that. I don't. Okay, well, what do you do? What is it that you do? And what you're doing, do you enjoy what you're doing? Because I can't tell. And if you're trying to convince me that what you're doing is right, I'm not convinced. I'm saying this because this is the way the world thinks about this stuff. This may not be the way your little circle thinks about it, but this is the way people think about that. I'm defined by what I don't do. I don't celebrate. I don't go. I don't do this. I don't do this. And we're an expert because we think that's the height of spirituality. What do I don't do? What do I not do? What do I not do? You know, when it comes to criticizing, okay, yeah, you got that down. But what about when it comes to enjoying life? Why isn't that a mark of maturity? Where I've learned how to manage the stuff in life so that I can enjoy it. I understand it's temporary. I understand it's not going to last, but it doesn't need to last in order for it to be useful at this time. So, can't enjoy things. These are ways we complicate this stuff. You can't enjoy things because we're comparing each other. We can't enjoy things because we're so critical. You know, I thought cynicism was a mark of maturity for a long time. Being able to identify, you know, the weak points and all that kind of stuff. But I realize everybody's a cynic after they get punched in the face. I mean, everybody, after you deal with life a little bit, everybody becomes cynical to some degree. But why don't we measure maturity with the ability to not be cynical or enjoy things? That's something that, I don't know, just you think about it, or you read about what Solomon's going through, and he's identifying all of these vain things and these trouble spots in the world, but he did say with people's lives, but he did say, you know, look, the ability to enjoy this stuff, that's a gift from God. But we can mess that gift up. Maybe you can't enjoy things because you're complaining about things everyone goes through. I get it. I mean, we have troubles in life and stuff. But if you maybe stop for a little bit and looked around, you might find that everybody goes through these things. These aren't unique problems. Now they're painful to you because they're my problems and they're your problems, and there are people who you love involved in it. Maybe we can't enjoy stuff because we're so busy complaining about stuff that it's normal life and it's stuff that everyone is going through. Maybe, you know, I think what will help people see Christ in you, in me, I said at the beginning, but you take the complaints and the criticisms and all this comparison that makes you kind of frown and mad. You take all that stuff and take your frown. It's second grade class, you know. Take your frown and turn it upside down. And maybe the world will view you like Paul and Silas. These people are in prison and they're singing. We don't understand that. What do you have that we don't have? How do you view this life that I'm not seeing? What am I not seeing about stuff? If you say you love the Lord, tell me what you enjoy about it. Tell me what you enjoy about this life. Because some folks, with the criticisms, the complaints, and this stuff that's supposed to be Christianity, and they come with the sad faces. You know who had the sad faces in the Bible? It was the Pharisees. It was the hypocrites. And they make their face all sad, and I got terrible problems, and I'm just beating myself. I mean, the Lord is just putting me through it. If that's what Christianity is, and you say you love the Lord, I'd hate to see you without the Lord. What do you look like without Him? There's a verse, we ended on this. It's 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Two words from a man who's in prison. Two words. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Is he saying this because every decision he makes is an eternal decision? No. Is he saying this because he's rooted out all the vanity in his life? No. Nevertheless, this is the instruction. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Paul says two words, rejoice evermore. That's the attitude of a Christian. That's the attitude of someone who has a right perspective about life. They've got God's perspective on this stuff. You're not going to extremes. We're not going to make being critical the pinnacle of spirituality, because it's not. It's just not. Rejoice evermore. Maybe that's the pinnacle of spirituality. The ability to rejoice in all of this stuff. Not that the stuff goes away. Not that the vanity goes away. Not that you don't live in it. Look, this is where you live. You're in the world. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're in the world. You're just not of it. How do you manage all of that? How do you manage that perspective? That's what Solomon deals with in a lot of Ecclesiastes, but there's some positive stuff there. There's some positive stuff there. The ability to enjoy life, it's a gift from God. The ability to enjoy life and things, that comes from the right perspective. But man, we can really mess that stuff up. So let's not mess it up. Enjoy it. Maybe too late. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. In Christ, you can enjoy these things. Father, I pray you'd help us with all this. I don't know. There's so many things that's so true about what Solomon said. There's so many ways to increase the trouble that we're born into already. But I pray that you would help us see this life the way you see it, and where are the useful places where I don't know, these temporary things can be turned into eternal rewards and things like that. Lord, I pray you'd help us have the right attitudes about life in this world, and thank you for this perspective. Thank you for each soul that's here and those that are traveling. I pray you get them home safe. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.